Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Mostly Pod at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 174. Yes, that is 174 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. So this week we're spreading some more Christmas cheer with some movies that are technically set during that time period. We can count the references from the first two films on one hand, but we'll finish strong with the last one. The last one is very heavily Christmas themed.
Yes. And this is the last episode of season four.
Oh, we have seasons now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. When we re-upload, I have seasons just to keep track of everything. So.
All right. Okay.
Yep. So what movies are on our docket for tonight?
So we have Maniac, the original Maniac from 1980. We have The Brain from 1988 and Rare Exports from 2009. That one's from Finland.
It sure is.
It's a very Finnish movie.
Oh, easily.
But yeah, so we'll start off with Maniac from 1980. It kind of just jumps from like scene to scene here, right?
I mean, arguably not a lot happens.
Right. It's just not a lot of, as far as like progression happens. It just kind of shows you the routine. So we see a couple getting it on the beach. We have a kind of a mouth breathery guy that we are, you know, kind of seeing through the eyes of, who then murders the girl and the guy. He scalps the girl, brings her scalp home, slaps it on a mannequin.
And nails it to the head.
And nails it with a thumbtack, nails it to the mannequin's head, and then like has like a weird mental breakdown, right?
Yep.
And then he goes out walking on the streets, he picks up a hooker, brings her into her room, kills her, scalps her, brings a scalp home, nails it to another mannequin's head. And during this scene is where we get our only, yes, one Christmas reference. This entire film is that when he's walking with a garbage bag with the mannequin inside of it, the guy goes, "Hey, you doing some Christmas shopping?" And that's it. That is it. I think there is a tree in his room, but there's no decorations on the tree.
Correct.
And two, it's like, we don't know if that tree is there because it's Christmas time or because he is like mentally regressing to childhood. And that's like one of your, you know, usually prominent memories of childhood is Christmas morning.
Well, in fairness to his undecorated Christmas tree, he's spending all his money on mannequins.
Well, I mean, yes, for sure. Mannequins and children's toys.
Yes.
So he does the same thing with a mannequin, has another breakdown. And then he goes out hunting for another couple. This time he finds a couple in a car, who is our good friend Tom Savini,
who has second billing in this movie.
Yeah, second billing, and he also did all of the effects.
Yep.
And him and his girlfriend are trying to get it on in the car. He's like spying on them through the car, and then like shoots them. I guess he has different MOs for like each killing. So he like, he shoots Tom Savini and it literally explodes his head.
Hell yeah, it does.
and then kills the girl again, scalps her, brings it home, nails her scalp to a mannequin. And then he finds a photographer lady in the park. He doesn't have any attacks or killing on this photographer. He just kind of creeps on her to get her address and her name, and then he leaves. And then we get a weirdly long scene of what I'm describing as mannequin porn, because we're just looking at a lot of storefronts with a lot of mannequins for a while.
Lots of heavy breathing.
Right. So then we go back to a killing again, where he chases a nurse through the subway, catches her in the bathroom, kills her, scalps her, brings her home with a mannequin again, has another mental breakdown. And then he just shows up at the photographer lady's house, kind of sort of dressed up and kind of sort of being like charming. And he kind of, you know, invites himself in, and they start getting along. They go out to like dinner and stuff. They go back to her house. She has like a photo shoot with like all these women and stuff. And then he, that's later on when he does that.
Is that about visiting the grave?
No, okay. I was talking about the other model. He waits until one of the models takes off her necklace, mm-hmm. and then she goes to do pictures. He picks up her necklace. So then later on, he follows her home, and then, you know, comes to her door after she's taking a bath for a weirdly long bath scene. And he's like, oh, hey, you might have saw me at the photo shoot. You lost your necklace. I brought it here for you. And she's like, oh, that's nice. So he goes in and kills her.
I got to say, all these women are very nice to the strange man when they know there's a serial killer going around.
That one is kind of sort of understandable because she saw him in a social setting. You know what I mean? Like that one I get. Like the other ones, yes.
The photographer that just sees this guy talking to this kid at the park? No, that's...
And then takes a picture of him, and she's like, oh, I know you. I took a picture of you. Like,
yep.
That's it.
Come
that's
in my house.
That's all it took.
Yep.
He kills her. He brings her like back to the room, and he literally has like a weird breakdown where he like regresses mentally and like is wearing like kids' clothes and a kid's hat and playing with kids' toys and like screaming at his mom that he didn't get what he wanted for Christmas he said something. He wanted some toy or something.
Yeah.
So he like regresses in a childhood. And then again, next scene, shows up at the photographer's house again. Hey, you want to go out on a date? Sure. And they're driving. He's like, hey, you mind if we stop off at the graveyard? She's like, oh, sure. So then they go to his mom's grave, and he tries to attack her at the grave. She gets away, but she like cuts him in the process.
Yeah.
So then he kind of gets home. He like lays down on the bed and he's like crying because he's bleeding.
Well, he also has a vision of his deceased mother coming out of the grave and attacking him.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah.
So
he's crying and bleeding on the bed, and then the mannequins come to life and like slowly like tear him apart and like mm-hmm. literally pull his head off of his body.
Yep.
And then that was just a dream.
Yep.
And then it just shows him just like bleeding out on the bed, and the cops like break into his room like, oh, we found him. Oh no, it's just a dead guy in the bed. And they leave and close the door behind them. Like, oh, well, just a dead body. Who cares? You know? So they did his leave, close the door behind him, and then he opens his eyes like he's still alive. And that's the movie.
As you do, when you think you have a suspected serial killer, you just go, oh, he's dead. See ya.
Right. But like, okay, like that's a dead body. That's another crime he should be investigating. Why would you leave?
Hey, this is 1980s New York's Times Square.
I guess. He's like, oh, we don't see the person who murdered them. We're never going to solve this. Leave him.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a very weird scene at the end, but... that is how it ends.
Yes. You've seen this before. You probably don't remember the first time or even the last time you watched this. I know I didn't.
No, this is one of the movies that I saw only recently. Mm. We were watching the, what was that? Insert.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Darkness, I think, is the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I made a list of all like the movies that, you know, one, either looked interesting and I'd never heard of, or two, movies that I had been meaning to watch but never got around to. And The Maniac was one of them.
Okay.
So I probably watched it for the first time 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, because the last In Search of Darkness was 2022. Those were like the right. deep cuts.
Right. And Maniac was in the first one, I believe.
Yeah,
because Maniac is like a big,
like 2020 ish.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about the time when I watched it.
Okay. Yeah. I know I had seen it before. I don't recall if I watched it in like knowing that it got remade in 2012 with Elijah Wood.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be better.
I don't know. I mean, this one is pretty good. I don't know.
I don't think you really see Elijah's Wood's face for the most part. It's just from his point of view, I believe, most of the time.
Okay.
Which is interesting. But it's definitely a role that, like, trying to get away from the kid stuff in Lord of the Rings, Elijah Wood, you know, takes these weird-ass roles.
Well, he's always had interesting roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, even like in Sin City,
mm-hmm.
he Kevin. Played, yeah, the Kevin, the murderer. He doesn't talk at all. He's just a very creepy person. That's it. That's his whole role in the movie. But that was like around that time.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, you know, everyone knows the poster for this movie, I think, even though that's not like an actual scene in the movie.
Well, I mean, it's one of those classic covers, you know, like it's from the VHS days for sure.
Yeah. And like I said, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched this, but I forgot most of it because it's not an actual lot happens. Plot wise, not a lot happens.
No, I mean, it's really just following a serial killer.
Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all it is until like the very end when he gets like, you know, torn apart, but that didn't really happen. But it's like, it seems like that's probably the end of at least this crime wave.
Right. Yeah. And he has scars. I don't know if they ever said if it's from previous, like the same type scenario, or that was scars from his like mom, because, you know,
I'm leads pretty to... sure those were scars from his mom putting cigarettes out on him.
That's fair.
That's what that's what they alluded to. They didn't show that happening, but I'm pretty sure they alluded to that because they showed like flashbacks of his mom like smoking and then saying like, come here.
Well, he was also having flashes of when he was strangling the prostitute between her and I'm assuming it was his mom, right?
Yeah, right.
It's essentially being your mom being a prostitute leads to you being a serial killer.
You know, happens more often than you'd think.
I know. Do you want to do your highlights first? Do you want to do me go first?
I guess I can go first if you're ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Joe Spinell, who's the actor who plays Frank, is not your typical main character here.
He also made this movie, didn't he?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like the whole reason this movie got made. But it's like, he's a kind of like a schlubby like dude, like not, you know, kind of like in the, you wouldn't consider him a beautiful person, right?
Fat Ron Jeremy.
Right. Yeah. That's about right. Well, I don't know if you'd say fat Ron Jeremy. I think you just say Ron Jeremy. Oh. Ron Jeremy's never been a fit and trim guy, or at least I've never seen him.
Chunky version of Ron Jeremy.
There you go. But yeah, like he's not, you know, like an actor looking person, not a Hollywood looking person. So I think it gives the movie a little bit more of like a believability, right? Like, mm-hmm. like a really, this could like really have possibly happened, you know, cause this guy looks like just like a serial killer guy that you would see, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Like a mugshot or like in a documentary. He kind of has that, thing. But again, like it's again, I think it's a realistic serial killer portrayal. I think it's done pretty well. I mean, there's obviously like the guy's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some serious mommy issues and trauma. which is like, you know, a lot of male serial killers have a lot of mom problems.
Yes.
Yeah. As we say, I mean, in movies and in real life, for sure. Mm-hmm. But again, like, you know, when he goes to the photographer's house, he is a charming guy, right? Like, he charmed his way in. He charmed her out for a date. Like, when he's out on the date, like, he's a charming guy. Like, you know, that's the weird kind of thing that, like, serial killers are, you know, where they can be charming. They can talk their way out of things. They can manipulate people into doing things that they wouldn't normally do.
Right.
And that's, yeah, that's a thing that, that serial killers do. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And that's, again, I think he plays it pretty well. Again, it's like a, like, disturbingly realistic in that respect. But I think it's done well, and I like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a lot of points that I rolled into one, but
there you go. Oh, yeah.
That's it.
That's all I got. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Is this I looked when I was researching, this was never labeled as a video nasty, but this would be a video nasty, hands down.
I think it's well, it's got nudity.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, scalping women, exploding heads.
Like, right.
You know, right. Like, weird, like, mannequin, like, with blood all over him and stuff. Yeah, like, I don't know why this wouldn't be. Maybe, I guess, just the time period, it was already out.
Yeah, I mean, Video Nasty is this is 1980. This is the start of it. It didn't really become more prevalent until, like, the mid-80s for the most part.
Yeah, I would just say, like, this movie was probably out and the damage was probably already done. Probably one of the movies that caused it.
Yeah. Like I said, and Tom Savini being second billing just to have his own head blown off. I'm like, we see the photographer a lot more than we see of Tom Savini.
Right.
But, and he wasn't that big of a name in 1980.
No, not at all. And that's I think he really didn't make it big until, like, Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's when he became, like, a name.
Yeah.
And that was what, 81?
Well, 1980. He was just at the cusp of it. So,
yeah.
You know, Frank living at the end is scary, right, for people in New York. And he's got to be, like, the most aggravating serial killer of all time for anyone hunting him down, because his weapon is different every single time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's no, like, MO. There's no, like, you know, like, one time he uses a shotgun, you know, sometimes he strangles, you know, sometimes, you know, it's all over the place.
Piano wire.
Right.
A sword.
Right.
Yeah, he's got to be, like, aggravating. Like, he'd be pretty damn hard to catch. Yeah. That's what I got there. I'll roll into it. The as I'll say ADR again, but the dubbing is atrocious in this movie.
Well, it's 1980. It's like an indie movie in 1980. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, you're going to be struggling. Yeah.
But and then, like, okay, great. We don't need to have the dubbing of his breathing all the time either.
Well, I think they did that on purpose because they were trying to make it creepy.
I know, but it was annoying and just like.
Yeah. I agree. It's on my list.
Yeah. He's at the park and the woman takes a picture of him, like, him talking to this kid that's probably not his. And then he just, like, hey, he took a picture of me. Sure, come on in, strange man. I know there's a murderer out in the loose. I'll just let you strange in because I took a picture of you. You must be safe.
Well, and again, she also had, like, 20 people in her apartment.
Yeah.
It's not like it was just her, him and her. Like, there was a lot of people.
I'm saying the very first time, you know, he's like, you know, hey, I'm a artist too. Okay. And then, like, the nurse, like, hey, friend, do you need a ride home? There's a maniac on the loose. No, I'll be fine. I'm going to just go through this abandoned subway by myself. Nothing bad.
I'll talk about that.
Yeah. And of course that, you know, that bathroom she goes into has no stall doors and has KKK as graffiti.
Well, it's New York in the '80s.
I know. Yeah. And just, I don't know. Is it a Christmas movie? Probably not. We debated this before because, like, it's on a list for some.
Like I said, I was like, I had seen it recently. I don't remember any Christmassy stuff in it at all. And again, there was literally one Christmas reference.
Yeah,
and I want just a guy asking if he's going Christmas shopping. That's it.
And I want to know his mannequin budget.
Yeah. Maybe he's got a mannequin connect or something. You know, he's got somebody that finds him off the back of a truck or something. I don't know.
Maybe he's just like a security guard at like a shopping plaza that has all
the mannequins. I don't know. Yeah, we didn't actually see his job, so yeah, who knows? Maybe he works at a mannequin factory.
Maybe. Who knows? That's what I have. How about you?
Right. So we're still not at Savini level fake blood, which is funny because Savini made this movie. He must have figured out the recipe between this and Friday the 13th, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, it's pretty much red paint, more or less. Mm-hmm. But I mean, other than that, I think the effects are pretty good. I mean, like 1980 on like a no budget, they like the head ripping off scene, the head exploding scene. Like, obviously they're fake, you know, you can plainly see that, but it pretty done pretty fucking well for like the no budget that they had. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. But again, it's not great, but fun. Yeah, again, like you said, like the weird moans and breathing were very disconcerting. And very loudly overdubbed. Like you can tell, like this wouldn't have been that loud, but the guy is like literally with his mouth over the microphone, like,
yeah,
it was like, okay, please stop. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny part is when the nurse is in the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And the subway car is pulling away. If you look in the reflection of the back window, there is clearly a bunch of people there. Like, clearly. Like, there are multiple, probably 5-6 people all standing along the platform. And then when it cuts back to her, they're all gone. But if you look clearly in that reflection, they're all there. They're standing right there if you look in the reflection of it. So yeah, she wasn't really alone. That's what I'm saying. Like, she's, oh, you're, you know, dumb for going into an empty subway. Technically she didn't, it was just effects for the movie.
Yeah.
Now the photo shoot,
mm-hmm.
Holy cats. That thing, it was way too long. And she kept shouting like the same things over and over again. Put your hand on your hip. Oh, that's great. Oh, give it to me. Yes. That's fantastic. Oh, that's great. Like, just shut up. Stop it. I was like, it went on for like forever. I don't know if this scene felt like it was like 5 full minutes long.
I think it's about that. Yeah.
Like, please stop. Like, I understand, like, yeah, he's stealing the necklace. He's like sneaking around, but like, we don't need to hear her give stage directions for 5 minutes.
True.
Like shutter sounds in a camera is all we need.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
All right.
So, Maniac, 1980. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
What are olives for this week?
Well, we're going to do obscure Christmas references. And that's simply because these first two, it's like you really got to stretch. You really got to be on the hunt. Like, if you weren't hunting for Christmas things, you would have no idea that these were Christmas movies. So we're doing obscure Christmas references because I was watching, like I said, and this movie, there's exactly one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if you count a naked tree in his house.
I do. Like I said, his ornament budget went to mannequins. So.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'll go first. This is an interesting piece of cinema from 1980, to say the least. It's interesting that it got remade 32 years later. Like, of all the movies to get remade, I don't feel like this is high on the docket for anyone to do.
Well, I mean, it's probably also a lot cheaper
probably
than some of the other movies to remake.
He's probably like, hey, someone saw my movie? Fantastic. That being said, it's worth a one-time watch, but it's not the greatest thing. So I will give it 6 obscure Christmas references out of 10. How about you?
You know, again, I watched it fairly recently and I watched it again. And you know what? I enjoyed it the second time as well. So, like, I think I'll actually go a little higher. I'll go 7.5.
Okay. That's fair. Perfectly fair.
All right. So now we're moving on to the late 80s now with The Brain.
So take it away. Not necessarily a whole lot happens, but essentially, it's a brain.
It is a brain. And at some point it gains a face.
Correct. So essentially we're introduced to this like the opening scene is like let's call him a Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz type guy. He's independent thought or independent. Well,
I think this is more like a Phil Donahue. Yeah. This is before the doctors hit the air.
Bubs, it's in that style. It's like sending these positive messages through TV, introduced to like a girl and her mother, and like tentacles are coming out of their room, and she starts stabbing. It turns out she like stabbed her mother, and she jumps out the window and dead.
And the poor girl, all her furniture was made out of 2x4s.
Correct. Yeah. And then we're introduced kind of to our protagonist, Jim, or James, if you will. And he's like, I have to go see this doctor, Dr. Blake, who has like, I'm going to call it a UFO shaped building with dozens of people working for him. That
I'd say it's a factory that they like slapped some paint on and tried to make it like, quote unquote, futuristic.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, oh, I've been having these problems. You know, he gets running with the cop because they're, remember, this is supposed to be wintertime, making out in the back of a car and like blah, blah, blah. The cop's like, cool, but I have to go see this doctor. He's like, hey, we're going to hook you up. And we get to see like the brain being attached to the same like.
He gets forced to go to the doctor.
By his parents, yeah.
Because he tried to flush sodium down. Well, he did flush sodium down the toilet, which exploded the toilet.
Correct.
So then they made him go to this guy because he's supposed to like supposedly help delinquent kids.
Yeah, but apparently when he's hooked up and trying to like essentially Vulcan mind meld with the brain, the best way I could put it, he's supposed to be seeing the stuff like, well, she holding an apple, are you sure? Yeah, it's an apple. How about now? Still an apple. We've seen like all these messages as the brain is talking to Dr. Blake and his people saying, this isn't working. He's too good. We're going to start hallucinating. And then she's like, he envises the.
Well, at this time, it doesn't read like communication between two beings. It just reads like a computer error.
Right.
But which is, again, later on when they start like communicating through it, it's very off-putting.
Right. But it is the brain going through it. But like the brain is just trying to, you know, get to him, and it's like, oh, he's not working, so I'm gonna start like causing hallucinations because he can't have like a brainwave sync with this brain. And like, oh, this is bad. And the nurse or assistant that he sees naked, she's like, we gotta stop this now. And the brain attacks her, eats her, and then grows a face.
Yep.
So it could pulsate slightly from the face throughout the rest of the movie.
Correct.
So eventually all this is going down, and he starts kind of having hallucinations, and he's like driving back from the doctor's lake, who's like didn't help him, and his car won't slow down. He, you know, tentacles come off his steering wheel as he breaks it off, and he crashes at over 100 miles an hour, flips his car, which explodes behind him, and he has a little trickle of blood on him, and he's fine, but makes his way back to his girlfriend and their friends. Diner, like, oh man, this isn't cool. We got to go back to this, and like, so they go back to the lab. They break through the like smallest boiler room door, because inside there's like 5 doors to the boiler room. Outside, yeah, it's like a manhole cover essentially.
Right, yeah. It's like very tiny and nobody locked anything.
Correct. So they kind of go through there and like, oh, we got,
you're just gonna skip over the burger bar?
Yeah. Well, they go to the burger bar and like, I guess kind of like all the friends are getting hallucination. Like more tentacles. Like they have the like tentacle budget more than the guy had mannequin budget.
Well, it's, yeah, just the dude. Yeah. After the car accident, he goes to the burger bar to talk to his girlfriend. And then he just hallucinates in the back room and like sees all the tentacles coming out. So he like destroys all the burger bar and then runs away with the girlfriend. And then that's why they're together.
Yeah. And you know, the dad is a big fan. Her dad is a big fan of Dr. Blake's, like, oh, don't call your dad. We got to do stuff. And, you know, they're kind of going back and forth. They eventually end up at the lab. They break in, poor guy gets eaten by the brain, and they escape, but they get pulled over by the cops and then they get arrested.
Bone in the biology lab.
Or did they? Well, that
we'll talk about.
They get arrested first. Then they have to go get the handcuffs off at the school in the biology lab.
Right.
But yeah, they're being chased by the assistants to shoot him. Who, if you remember, if you watch the Santa Claus of the mutated elves, he's the Santa Claus from that, the assistant with the mustache. I'm like, oh, it's that guy from, you know, A Christmas Horror Story that we watched a couple of years ago.
All that stuff is pushed out of my head. I don't want to remember those.
But like, oh man, we're handcuffed as we, you know, escape from the back of the cop car. We just open the cop car's doors and leave in the back, which no.
I had a cop car. That's not how they work.
Correct. Correct. You cannot just open the handle on the inside and get out.
No. You freak people out when they get in the back because then they can't get out.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're like, oh, we got to get these handcuffs off so they escape. And because the assistant kills the dopey cop, and another cop comes in, like, you know, it's the safest place. The school, I happen to have the keys because I'm, you know, part of welding or auto shop, wherever it is, right? And again, there they get bolt cutters. He somehow is able to undo his own handcuffs, which is impressive with bolt cutters. We didn't see it. It happened off screen. Then she undoes his, and then they decide to bone, and the brain kind of like brain waves to the skeleton and like is like going after them weirdly, whatever.
I think it's just their own hallucinations.
I guess. But anyway, so like, you know, she calls her dad and he's like, he has to run away. And he's like, now has to blend in. He's like, I got to stop this. And like, everyone's in on it. Like their girlfriend's been kidnapped. And like his parents are thinking that he's all part of it. And they're going to like this nationwide televised thing. Because, you know, we figure out that they're trying to televise this brain taking over essentially the entire world. It's trying to like sync up. Think of like the device from Batman Forever, but by Jim Carrey. That's what the brain's trying to do. Anyone that doesn't like adhere to it, or is like supposed they allude to too smart to like be hypnotized, has these hallucinations. But he has to go back to the lab and try to stop this from happening. His disguise is sunglasses. And his parents immediately recognize him.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. His disguise is sunglasses. And this is literally like his face is plastered on every television, every newspaper, everything. And he's also the only child that shows up to an adult function. Like, and he walks in like all nonchalant, like kicks the door open and like walks in like, what was this fucking plan going to be? Like, what did you expect to do here?
I don't know.
I don't think he did either. I don't think anybody fucking knew.
And remember, while we're in the boiler room, we have to point out that sodium is in use. It's everywhere in the boiler
room. Dude, it's everywhere in that whole fucking building. It's on my list too. Like they literally like hitting you in the head with a fucking hammer going, look, foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how it does what it does at the end, but it does. It's something. It's huge foreshadowing. So he's like, oh man, I gotta stop this. So then we proceed to like have, I don't know, three separate stairwell chase scenes. Up and down, back up and down.
Yeah, right. I swear to God, they must have passed each other at some point.
Right. And he finds his girlfriend like trapped by like dead bodies, try to break her out, but you know, he's still being chased by the one guy. And he finds his way, you know, and the brain's loose. And like the brain kills the assistant. He goes to stop the, you know, nationwide broadcast. The doctor's like, hey, we're going to be global here with our satellites. It's going to be great. And he just comes in and just kind of like literally punches the guy's head off.
Yeah. It's apparently made out of like green jello.
Right. And he's not human. Great. What does that do for us?
We assume.
Well, he says he's not human. I mean, I think he's not human with his brain just coming off head, just coming off that easily.
Okay, I have a theory. We'll talk about it.
Okay. So all that's going on there, like, oh man, this is bad. Then the brain starts chasing them. Yeah, so kills assistants, and he, of course, then finds, you know, after like trying to hit the giant brain with something that's not going to do much damage, throws a canister of sodium into its mouth, and it blows up because reasons, I guess.
Have you ever seen what happens if you take a block of sodium and put it in water?
Yeah.
What happens?
It blows up.
Right.
Are we saying that the brain's just all water?
I'm saying like human body is like 80% water. I'm assuming they're fleshy and gooey, probably the same.
Yeah. And then, oh, everyone is no longer brainwashed by the brain because it's dead. Everything's fine.
Yep.
Everybody's happy and back to normal.
Yep. Man, I watched this movie probably once in the 90s. And I know this has been on like In Search of Darkness as well, but it's just a bizarre thing. Like, you know, there's, I'd say there's hints of Pazuzu's face in it, but with the brain in this movie, like we did in like The Exorcist, right? We're like, oh, we just have occasionally the brain like coming closest to us in the dark tunnel. It's definitely, it feels to me like on this rewatch, like a cheesy B movie, 50s sci-fi movie, but bloodier because it's the '80s. Have you seen this before?
No.
I mean, what was your initial thoughts? I mean, I know you're looking at this as like, oh, this is late '80s. It's probably gonna be cheesy as hell.
It was. I mean, it's a typical example of late '80s horror. I mean, lots of teen angst by people that are clearly not teenagers. I mean, that's essentially what all the like the movies were back then. It was like, yeah, oh, we're high school children who are clearly in their 30s.
Yep.
And yeah, there's lots of bad fashion, lots of blood and guts and partial nudity, and yeah, that's exactly what we got.
Yep. I'll do my highlights first. When the creature isn't pulsing, it looks fine. It looks interesting. It looks fun, right? Like I said, it could just be like, you can see it black and white in the '50s and Mystery Science Theater making fun of it. It's that cheesy of a B movie. I do enjoy that though. Of course I would say sodium in use because, you know, in case you missed it, sodium's in use.
It is.
We don't necessarily know what the plan of the brain is. Like, what? Okay, so it gets it. Then what? We don't get an explanation of what Dr. Blake is. He's not human. Cool. What the hell is he? The only thing I can think of, I don't know what your theory is, you'll get into it, but maybe that brain is his and he's just like the husk of it now. Although, you know, if I have to unsuccessfully mind meld with a giant brain, I get hallucinations. There, some of them are quite fun. I wouldn't mind them.
the naked woman. I don't need hallucinations to imagine a naked woman.
It's silly and goofy, but it not too far, I don't think, in my opinion. Those are my highlights. How about yours?
I'll agree with you. The effects were fun. Mm-hmm. Again, they're not great, but they're fun. They're like dumb fun for the time period. Like the weird face, you know, zoom in where it looked like the teeth were breathing was funny. The tentacle porn everywhere was funny. Especially when they were like trying to stab the tentacles and they clearly were not being stabbed.
Right.
That was funny. I like the idea of like the TV waves being like a virus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like whoever is like exposed to the TV rays, like through the TV, are like somehow infected by it.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Like you said, where the fuck did it come from? Mm-hmm. Like, how does it work? What's the point? Like, because if you in the beginning of this, when the doctor and the weird guy with the mustache and the assistant are all talking, they're talking like they don't know what it is.
Correct.
They're talking like, we don't know what it is, we're just using it because we know how, but they clearly don't know how to use it. They're just like slowly figuring out as they go along, which is why like later on when he's like, oh, he's not human, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Correct.
Because like in this scene, very beginning of the film, they're very clearly out of their depth. They have no idea what's going on. They know things are happening. They know they can control people mind stuff, but they don't know how. They don't know what this thing is. It's not like it has its own mind. Again, like when we're looking at the screen, it was just like one word, like rejected, hallucination. Yep. That's it. It just looked like a computer error. Like it was trying to sync with something and then it failed. That's what it looked like. There was no like, you know, hey, try this. Hey, what's up? My name's Joe. There was nothing like that. Like no communication from the brain. That didn't happen until later on. So again, my whole theory about this movie is this is exactly how an insane person would describe the world around them. Right? Like if you think that the TV is infecting your brain and that the people on it are somehow infecting everyone around you to hate you or to, you know, dislike you and whatever. And you're hyper focusing on one specific person that you think is doing this, right? The one person on the TV that this is the bad guy. This is the guy that we need to stop. That's how insane people do things.
Right.
Right. That's how they are. They hyper focus on like one person that has nothing to fucking do with anything, but in their, you know, trapped schizophrenic mind, it does make sense. This is exactly how it, they do it, right? Who are the only people that tell him that the doctor isn't human? Is one, another insane guy in a mental institution, and two, a figment of his own imagination. The assistant, no one else told him that, right? And by the time he punches the doctor's head off, he is so far broken beyond like normal experience that he is full on experiencing a schizophrenic break, right? That never happened. Right. I mean, he might have gone out there and punched him, sure, but his head did not explode and become green jello because the people in the audience clearly did not react to it.
Right.
Right. They didn't react to a green jello alien explosion. They reacted to like how you would react to a person running out and punching a TV host while you're filming a TV show. Right. So, like, again, the only people that talk about it are crazy, right? It's or a hallucination. All the hallucinations that he had are pretty much one-sided, right? Like his girlfriend is kind of like trying to understand what the fuck he's doing and what he's going through, but she's not really experiencing it herself, right? She doesn't. The only time that she does experience it herself is like at the very end. Again, this is after he's had his mental break and he sees her in a freezer in the basement of a factory with a bunch of weird dead bodies all around. Like, as soon as I saw that scene, I was like, he's dreaming. Yeah. It's like, this isn't real. And again, you're supposed to think that was real.
Right.
I don't think that's real. I don't think whoever made this movie thought that was real. That scene doesn't even make sense. How did she get there?
I don't know.
Right. Because when he left her at the school, she had joined the other side. She was calling him a murderer. Why the fuck would they capture her at that point? Right. In his mind, because again, he's broken mentally, he would still see it as he has to rescue her from the evil bad thing, right? So he's imagining her there, right? Why did he leave her in the room? Because she's not really there. He's just imagining, oh, my girlfriend's here. I have to do this thing. I have to punch the alien's head off to save my girlfriend. I, you know, literally I could walk in the room and take her down, but I don't do that. Right. I walk away and I go punch the guy out because that's in my insane, crazy mind. That is what's happening. Again, no one else interacts with this, you know, quote unquote brain. Right. The only other person that does is mustache guy who's part of the thing. Right. He eats the mustache guy. But no one else in the like audience has ever seen the brain. Right.
True. Yeah.
So like the only people that are eaten by it is the assistant and the guy with the mustache who are clearly in on it. And who he would think is in on it, right? So in his mind, if he can make up, you know, oh, the assistant left. The assistant probably left because she saw the fucking shady shit he was doing. And she's like, I can't be a part of this. I quit.
Right.
But in his mind, he's like, oh, no, the brain ate her.
Mm.
Right? Which is why the guy with the mustache, when the doctor says, hey, you know, attack this high school child who's just trying to like, you know, who's having a mental break and trying to like, quote unquote, save the world. The guy's probably like, no.
Right.
And he probably left. But in his mind, he's like, the brain ate him too. Right. Mm. So again, to me, all of the things that happen in this only make sense if he's having a mental break and is literally living a fantasy world. That's only way this stuff makes sense.
I mean, I really enjoy this theory. It's not anywhere that I've ever seen.
I'm just saying, like, to me, it's like when he's in the hospital, and he's there, like, it really seems like they're at first trying to help him. And I think it's when he decides in his brain that this is bad, right? These people are trying to ruin his brain somehow. That's when he starts falling out, right? And obviously he's having fucking visions when he's driving his car. He's having fucking visions when he goes to see his girlfriend at the burger bar. No one else can see what's happening. they just see him going crazy. And I think he's just crazy the whole time. I don't think anybody else interacts with any of his stuff. Like, they're there, they're present, but they don't experience it.
Right.
The girlfriend kind of does, but again, I think that's just him imagining it.
I like it.
Anyway, that's what I was thinking the whole time I was watching this. I was like, there's no looking away. And that's when I saw her tied up in the basement, I was like, that's for sure where this movie is going. I was like, that's for sure what's happening. Like, I was right the whole time. And then at the end, it's just like, nope, everything's all perfect. Everybody's happy. I'm like, I think at the end, it's like, that's when they drugged him and strapped him down to a bed. And that's when he's like, I'm at home and I'm living this perfect life with my girlfriend and my mom and dad. Like, that's literally, he's drugged and tied to a bed. I bet you any money. That's my theory on the brain from 1980. So I'll roll into my low points now. I know, yeah. I rambled on.
Oh, all good.
So Jim, I don't know why everybody in the movie doesn't punch that fucking guy. He is such an asshole. He's talking to his fucking girlfriend, and he is just such a dick. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole time, everyone that interacts with him, I was like, oh my God, how are they dealing with this kid? Like, when they're like sending him to the fucking hospital to, like, you know, get brain scan, I'm like, yeah, he probably should be. The kid's a fucking asshole. He's an asshole to his parents. He's an asshole to everybody around him. He's just a punchable person. For sure. The acting in this movie is terrible. I don't think we're expecting much from this movie, but it is really bad. The car explosion is ridiculously lame. And I think the funniest part to me was when the car was flipped over and he crawls out of the car. If you look at the bottom of the car, there is clearly a whole bunch of straw sprinkled around the car, and that's what's on fire.
Yes.
Like, it's very clearly not the car. It's just correct. Some straw that they put on the car. It's like literally like dry grass that they put, like, wow, didn't even try.
Mm-hmm.
So the sign for the PRI factory place, like, it seriously looks like that somebody made the sign with cake frosting. Like, how you imagine, like, how you would put the PRI logo on a cake with, like, the, you know, the little squeeze tube.
Yep.
That's what this sign looks like. It is so, so bad.
Oh, they didn't have sign budget.
It literally looks like it was made with cake frosting. It was so bad. I mean, just boning in the biology lab. Again, this is, to me, it's something he's just making up. Like, there's no way that this girl, again, who, like, when they tried to bone before, was like, no, I want to wait till college, is going to just give it up in a biology lab in handcuffs.
Yeah, she's wearing handcuffs.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that, I don't think that happened. Again, I started having this theory about the time of the burger bar. I'm like, no one else is seeing this. It's just him being crazy. Like, yeah, they're trying to say, oh, it's the TV putting hallucinations in his brain. No, it's like he's focusing on the TV as to why he's having these fantasies, but it's not real. It doesn't happen. It's just a psychotic break. Anyway, so, like, yeah, like you said before, like, literally the sodium foreshadowing, they, like, hammered in your head every fucking scene. Like, every scene that's in that factory, they zoom in on a sodium's dangerous sign.
Yep.
Like, literally in the beginning of this thing, he has the sodium block in a little plastic container that says pure sodium, do not put in water. Like, pretty sure that's not how they sell sodium, but
no.
Again, it's just like, you know, hammering it in your fucking head.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Besides your theory, which I absolutely love, you know, they're doing this hooking up people to the brain because science.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. Like, they already know they can control minds. Like, what do you think you're going to do?
Right. What science do you need? Like, okay, how's this brain outputting text to, like, a computer screen? He's just tacked to, like, EKG. Science. Sure. Why not? Like, I can understand, like, oh, telepathically, it's telling us what it's doing and what it wants. I can get a feeling. I get that. But somehow, like, they are able to do all this awesome stuff. I put this is the 80s. If not a final girl, girlfriends are pretty useless in 80s horror movies, other than screaming like, what are you doing, what is this, and just freaking out the entire time. That was her entire motivation this entire movie, is just,
she's just there to add tension.
Correct.
Essentially is what they used them for.
Correct. If, like, she's just there to be hysterical.
Yeah, it was tension and like stakes as to like why you're doing what you're doing. That's like that's their whole purpose, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's like, especially in this movie, she's like, the second half of the movie, most of her stuff was screaming.
See, that's why I like Aliens so much.
Right.
Right. Cause there's no lady victims. Everybody is just as dangerous, you know, in danger as everybody else. And you all got to try.
Correct. I'll say it again. They escape out of the back of the cop car by just opening the handle inside and leaving it. Okay. And what's interesting to me, this is a trope. I don't know where this started, but like it seems to be like anytime a high school student in a horror movie needs something, I'm just gonna go to the school. And like,
right, yeah, like when I was in school, I would do anything but go back to school. I would correct. Never like, hey, you want to go hang out in the baseball field at night? No,
right.
I don't want to be anywhere near the fucking school because anything you do near the school is going to be like 10 times the penalty. Just go to the woods.
It's like this the awesome hangout to everyone needs to go to is like the school has it all. No, it doesn't.
Like you can go to a fucking grocery store. They got the same shit.
Hardware shop, whatever. Right. Like, yeah. Like I said, I just funny that like the bolt cutters that magically undid his own handcuffs and did hers, but we never saw it happen, so I don't think it happened.
Well, this is the time of the Thigh Master,
I guess.
Right, so he just Thigh Mastered the bolt cutter, you know, pop, no problem.
And I like that he's like, I have the keys to the welding shop. And he has like 50 keys in that keychain. Like, what else does he have keys for?
All the other shops in the school.
Right, and the alarm goes off, not from them unlocking the door and opening the door. It's not until something later. No, it's...
Like I said, mental break.
I guess
things only happen when they're convenient.
Yeah, and like I said, and we like you expect like some grandiose monologue from the main villain to say what's happening. We got zero information,
right? Because again, like if you ever look at schizophrenics when they like have their mental breaks and they describe what they think, they don't need to explain it because it's happening.
Yeah.
Right, to them, they already explicitly know what's happening, so they don't have to tell you. They're like upset and confused that you don't know. Right, right? Like, what do you mean you don't know the TV controls you? Right, yeah. Like to them, that's like, how do you not know? So that again, in that situation, it makes perfect sense to me why he wouldn't explain it. But that's also why nobody else is explaining it either.
Yeah,
because it's not really happening; it's only in his mind. Only in his mind.
Yeah, and you know. Christmas tree in the hallway with a couple of presents in the insane institute.
And then when the girl in the very first scene of the film, when she's like getting attacked by tentacles in her 2x4 bedroom, she jumps out the window and you see that the house had Christmas decorations on it.
Yep. So that's it. Christmas movie. those are the
only two references to Christmas. So we're on two movies and we have four, count them four. Like I said, you can count them on one hand, the amount of Christmas references in both films.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I have for low points. So Salem, how many obscure Christmas reference out of 10 do you give The Brain from 1988?
I don't know. When I was applying my theory to it, I felt better about it. You know, like I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But you know what? I don't think they expect you to do that. You know, so like with my theory, I would give it a much higher number, but I have to give it the number of what I expect everybody else is seeing in this film and probably what the creators saw in this film. Mm-hmm. So I'll say it's a four.
It's a four. And by the way, the weird mustache guy is the voice of Beast from X-Men, the animated series.
Nice. That was a weird mustache that he had. If it was my theory, I would probably give it a 7, but I don't think it is. So we'll stick with 4.
This, like I said, this movie is cheesy. Like I said, not overly cheesy. I do like your theory. That does raise it for me. I'm applying your theory to it. So I enjoy this. This is just like a kind of turn off your brain and watch. Just do it. But I will give this a solid 7 obscure Christmas references out of 10. It's a fun watch. And just like how the creature, like they can't, when they made this, you know, rubber creature that they couldn't like make the bottom teeth and top teeth separate. So you have like that rubber membrane. Like, do you remember those like monster balls in the 90s? They're like squishy balls that had creature monster faces on it. and like they had teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's that, but that's the brain, right?
Correct.
It's not even opening in the mouth. It's just when it's breathing, the entire rubber ball is inflamed at once.
You know, I saw one of those at a flea market the other day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember the name of them then either. But yes, that, I know exactly what you're talking
about. But that's what the brain reminds me of.
Correct. Yeah, no, you're dead on.
All right. Well, why don't you take us through the heavy Christmas ridden Rare Exports.
Right. So we have Rare Exports. And we're in Finland. Finland seems like a fun place.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very cold. Everybody always has a gun. And they're also dressed very, very warm, but they also seem like they don't really need it.
Correct.
That's kind of what I see Finland as. Anyway, so they're up along the Russian border in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians are drilling into a mountain, and they basically find out that like this whole mountain is like an old timey ice box,
yep,
keeping something frozen in the center of the mountain. The two Finn kids see it and assume it's Santa Claus and then go back home. And then the whole intro is us like seeing the old timey fairy tale illustrations of like Santa in his evil form, right? With like horns and being like, you know, stealing children and like eating them and killing them, which is
Krampus. It's Krampus.
Oh, Krampus is different, but like this is Santa in like his original like pagan form.
Yeah,
which Krampus kind of evolved off into because they wanted to keep that role, but they didn't want to have the Santa name. Right. So they kind of offshot there. But anyway, this is what it is. They're going like, okay, Santa is evil and bad. So, you know, we have to do something about this, but the parents are all like, ah, whatever. So they don't really care until the reindeer that they're all going to like harvest and eat for like the next year. They all get killed by wolves that came through the fence from Russia, which is that's the fence that the kids cut into. So it's kind of their fault that it happened.
Correct.
So that they're all upset about the wolves. So they set up a bunch of wolf traps. They go to bed. They wake up in the morning. Dad's like, oh shit, we caught a wolf. Right. So he goes into the wolf trap. It's not a wolf. It's an old man.
Yep.
So they're like, oh shit, the old man's dead. So his friend comes over and they're like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to like to chop up this body and like hide it.
Yeah.
Right.
As you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course, a guy dies in your trap. He's like, oh, it's an illegal trap. Well, I'm pretty sure if you say it was for wolves, you'll be okay. Because the guy looked homeless. But anyway, so not saying the homeless people are worth anything less. I'm just saying like more realistic that they were wandering around your property.
Yeah. Naked.
So as they're about to chop him up, they realize he's still alive. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. So he's like a naked old man who was originally somebody from Canada, I guess. Well, that's what the passport says that they're assuming is his. We find out later it's somebody else's clothes. He's kind of like doesn't react to anything at all until the kid comes by. When the kid comes by, he starts sniffing and getting all excited and like, oh, what's going on here? So then the kid goes down into the pit once he realizes that there was a person down there, and he finds a sack, like Santa's sack, and it's got a like a kid made out of like straw,
burnt, right? Like whatever, decaying. I don't
know. Whatever it is, some kind of fake stuffed child thing.
Yep.
And so he basically decides that this guy was here to kidnap him and replace him with this stuffed child thing, and he ends up finding out that all of his friends, which are all the other children in this town, did get kidnapped. They got kidnapped and there's a weird stuffed child in their place. So they basically figure out, oh shit. These guys have been, you know, somebody's been kidnapping all the children. They think it's this one dude. They basically figure out he only reacts to children. So they kind of do some investigation and they end up finding out that like these guys, they're calling them Santa's helpers, which are just naked old men with long beards who look like what we think of the traditional Santa looking like, right? Yeah. But they're not Santa, they're Santa's little helpers. Santa is like this demon thing. They end up finding the hangar where Santa is, and he's like frozen in a big block of ice, but he's got like giant like devil horns coming out of it.
I'm gonna say again, Krampus horns.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So they all kind of decide, well, they're trying to sell this guy for money to the mining company. Cause they're like, yep, well, you guys were trying to mine Santa. We have Santa here. You want him, you know, pay his ransom and get him back. And that's when they find out that, like, that's not Santa. That's the Santa's helper. There's a whole shit ton of those. They all attack and they kill the soldiers and the mining people. And they all get chased back to the hangar with Santa in there. And so they've come up with this plan to where they drill into the ice that Santa's being kept in and fill it full of dynamite from the miners. And then they take all the children who are in this hangar as well, in sacks. They leave the children in the sacks.
Sure do.
Throw them in another bigger net, attach it to a helicopter, and then fly it out to the cage where they were going to keep the reindeer originally, which is electrified. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so all of the Santa's helpers, naked old men, chase after the children, and they get into the little, like, corral, the reindeer corral.
Yep.
And then once they do that, then they blow up Santa. Well, first they cut off his horns, and then they blow up Santa. And after they blow up Santa, apparently all the Santa's helpers now don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So they basically train them to be like mall Santas. And then they sell them for money.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Rare Exports is the name of the company of after they train the Santa helper people for a year not to eat or capture children, but to love and give them presents. They ship them out all over the world, and they, you know, for literally sell them for money and put them in a box and ship them around the world. So yeah, that's it.
There's like 136 of them.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. Was there anything else?
No, other than the kid wore a helmet the entire time.
He did, yes. And he wore what they call hockey pads. I don't know, maybe that's what Finnish hockey pads look like. I don't know.
Yeah. And like the kid's like going to sacrifice himself to like capture these things. And I don't know. Yeah. I know I had never seen this movie before.
No, I hadn't either.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, I saw it somewhere. It was like, you know, somebody was talking about like, you know, the best holiday horror movies, and it ended up on one of those lists, and that's how I heard about it and put it on our list. But I had never seen it before.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's half Finnish, half English.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, because we're getting subtitles for the Finn, but not for the English, which is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bizarre movie. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, again, there you go. You're going back to like Finnish Santa.
Yeah.
Right. This is like Finland. They're like, I think there's kind of a weird tagline to this where they're like, where Santa really came from.
Correct.
Like they kind of, they say it in the film, I think.
Yeah.
They're like the real home of Santa Claus, Finland. I was like, okay, I'll believe you. I don't know where Santa came from.
Turkey, but okay.
I know it's not me. That's all I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first for highlights?
I'll go first. That's okay. Fine. So the very beginning, the intro, the kind of like the old books and the illustrations, those were kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that in Finland, like literally everyone carries guns all the time, and like even the children, and like nobody cares.
Oh yeah, the kid like had a full on rifle.
Yeah, like yeah, he had a shotgun. He was just carrying it on his bag, and the kid was like what 10?
Yeah,
yeah, that's normal because he got like wolves and bears and all kinds of shit.
Russians.
Yeah, exactly. I think the one, oh God, I can't remember his name. They called him the White Death. And he was a guy from Finland who like he was a sniper and he killed like hundreds of I think German troops that were trying to invade Finland.
Yeah.
And they just could not catch him. And he did get shot in the head. He didn't die. he just got shot in the head and he was like, he got put into a coma. And I think he woke up from the coma the day the war ended. It's a very cool story, but he was from Finland. That's the only guy I know from Finland. There was a guy that I met at a concert a long time ago. It's from Finland. He was nice.
There you go.
That's all I know about Finland. I know there's a lot of people that believe Finland doesn't exist. I don't know if that's a joke or not, but I thought flat Earth was a joke. And it turns out it's not. So I don't know what's a joke anymore.
I know.
But anyway, it's an interesting twist on the classic fairy tale, right? Mm-hmm. It's like at no point is Santa good. Right. There's no like good Santa or bad Santa. It's like, nope, all bad all the time.
Yeah. He's there nothing just good. To punish children. If you're good, yep. Nothing happens. If you're bad, he's going to get you.
Yeah. He beats you to death and eats you or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I said, that's interesting that there's just no good, mm-hmm. Just all bad. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, like I said, I like it because, like I said, I know it's not Krampus. I know it's Santa Claus in this movie, but it is Krampus. Everything that American thinks of Krampus is this version of Santa, as you said.
Correct, yes.
To the horns, to like little eating children, like making, like these books and then all the stuff they had are from like actual folklore books. This isn't something that made up for the movie.
Right. No, yeah, that's the way it is. The old school stuff was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, there's bit like him making stew out of a kid. It's like, yeah, okay, that's what he does. You're bad. You don't get coal. You become soup.
It was a bad kid, man.
Yeah. I like when, you know, like, it they're essentially the old men are White Walkers.
Kind of.
Right?
Yeah.
The cold doesn't bother him at all. All the stuff mute, don't really do anything, and just weirdness. I like as they're trying to thaw out Santa, there's like a bunch of like those radiators, stuff like that. And there's a stove. There's just a stove in there.
It's an electric stove.
I know, but it's not going to do much thawing.
These guys don't seem like they got a lot going on upstairs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's right. Like this group make warm. I make warm for Santa.
Right. And something as the wife was watching, she's like, are all the people the same character, but just different ages? Because they all look the same.
Trying to say how Finnish people look alike? Come on.
I thought that was hysterical, though, that she thought that. And like the helpers essentially are elves, I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
They were calling them elves, but I don't know. I don't know what they were supposed to.
I'm like, if those are Finnish elves, I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's we got issues.
Yeah. I'll roll into my low points. It's like I said, it's interesting that's half English and half Finnish. Like I don't think we need the English in there at all, quite honestly.
Well, if you want to have a mass appeal, you're gonna have to have at least some.
Yeah, but it's just like, and that's the thing, like the people that are speaking both languages can't speak usually it seems like both fluently. And it just depends who they're talking to, whether they're doing the speaking Finnish or English. Of course, naked old men everywhere trying to kidnap children. Not cool.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Hey, let's train these Santas and sell them for $85,000 a piece. And there's 136 of them. It's something millions of dollars. Profit? Like, what? I don't understand your business.
Yeah, I know. Like, dude, there are professional Santas that I guarantee you will work for less than $85,000.
Yeah, and you're selling them?
Right. Like, what are you going to do with them for the rest of the year?
I don't know. Like, I'm just like, I put profit question mark. I have.
Right.
Like, oh.
Yeah, make murderous Santa's helpers into, you know, helpful mall Santas in 1 year.
Yeah.
Sell them for money. Make profit. Like, okay, I'm pretty sure you're gonna get a hell of a lot of lawsuits of like them making children's soup.
I know. And like they're gonna sell the one helper to the business guy. Like why does he want it? He doesn't want him, he just wants Santa. Like,
well, at that time they don't know that isn't Santa.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, it's still like I don't understand what they thought they were gonna get money from this guy.
Oh, I agree. That's on my list too. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'm just like, in the case the kid constantly wearing a helmet, like he must fall down a lot.
He's ready for action, man. He knows that Santa is coming.
I guess. And let's face it, the monstrous Santa behind the advent calendar door number 24, which is dumb. also is already Christmas, so the 24th has already been open.
Well, not then, because he stapled it shut.
Sure. That's what I have. How about you?
Yeah. Old man dong. There's too much of it. Too much. Mm-hmm. We didn't need to see all that flapping. Okay. So you like accidentally murder someone,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's technically accidental death, but you caused it.
Yep.
And then like, so you're just going to chop them up and try to like forget it ever happened. And then you realize, oh, maybe this is Santa. And then you're trying to sell him for money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like what this guy doesn't talk. Like for all you know, this is just some dude that was wandering around that you almost killed. And so you're going to ransom back a guy that you almost murdered.
Yep.
Like for what? So that he can tell them that you almost murdered him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what the fuck is the thought process for this?
I don't think there is any.
I was like, so they're like, okay, you guys jump from like one crime to another crime. I'm pretty sure this one's worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, like at the end, like, wow, they were like just crazy careless with those kids. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Just leave them in the bag. Like one of those was the dude's son. And he's like, okay.
Yep.
Wow. Like, okay, it's Finland. It's nighttime. It's really cold. And you're leaving children in a bag and flying them around with a helicopter. Like, they're all going to be dead. They're all going to be frozen to death.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Finnish children have, like, cold resistance.
I think they do.
I'm pretty sure they do, too. But
yeah.
I was just like, wow, that's very careless. But, I mean, the movie's not meant to be serious, I guess, but
no.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
So, Rare Exports, 2009. Randy, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first. This is an interesting movie to watch once.
Correct.
I don't need to see this movie again. Like I said, it gets points for the classic pagan Santa lore, the darkness of it. I do enjoy that part of generally horror Christmas movies. So I really love the movie Krampus because it's the pagan version of Krampus, which is this Santa.
We did Krampus, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I watch it every year. So it gets points to that. It gets points deducted because of their dumbass business model at the end. It's naked old guys ? Profit.
Exactly.
So I will give this 5.5 obscure Christmas references out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, that was my thinking. I'll just 5 is fine. It's not terrible. It's fun to watch once for Christmas, but that's it.
Yep.
I mean, I imagine if you're like from Finland, this is probably better than that, but
probably,
I'm not. So,
all right, cool.
All right, anything else you want to add?
Wrap up this season for us.
All right, yeah, so we're taking a week off for the holidays, but then we'll be back in the first week of January for our 2025 wrap up and rating extravaganza. I'll be listing our best and worst films of the year and try to decide what films win the crown. Because there could be only one.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's not next week. Week after that. So remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new...